you want to change, then get involved.
Hi there, this is Dennis Velko. You're listening to Out Bureau Voices, where we have engaging, delightful, and entertaining conversations with LGBTQ professionals, entrepreneurs, and community leaders from around the world. And today, our guest is DJ Doran. He is both an entrepreneur and not only a leader in the LGBT community, he is also announcing his run for mayor of Chicago. Welcome to the show, DJ.
Thank you, Dennis, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
Awesome. So for every one of you out there in the audience, what have you ever thought of running for political office? It seems a little scary and vulnerable to me and possibly quite exposing. Would you go ahead and drop a comment down on whatever site or application that you are listening to and let us know, number one, if you were to run for public office, which office would that be? Would it be a city council member, or do you have plans for the presidency? Let us know in the comments below. And then while you're doing it, if you feel so bold, go ahead and also let us know the skeleton in your closet that you wouldn't want your opponents to find out about. Alrighty, DJ. Well, again, welcome to the show. And I so much appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, Dennis. And like I said, I'm happy to chat with you. You know, as you said, Dennis, running for office, you know, is a challenge, and it can be difficult and it can be scary. And it is, quite frankly. I decided to run for office. It wasn't a whim. It didn't happen overnight. It took weeks and months of thoughtful consideration and asking my friends and my family what they thought before I finally made the decision. A lot of the common concerns were they're going to dig up things from your past, from when you were in your 20s or 30s or 40s or even 50s for that matter. And that's true. You know, I truly believe this is why good people hesitate to run for office, because, you know, people go back and you did something dumb when you were in your 20s and they hold you accountable like it's a life sentence. And you have to be prepared to embrace that, to grab those things, to be fully transparent and say, yes, I did that, but I learned from that. And that is what is making me the person I am today, and not be afraid of that. That's what a lot of people like. They want that fear. They want you to be fearful. So I had to consider all of that before I decided whether or not I wanted to get into the public arena. You know, I've never been in public office. I've never run public office. I've been the CEO of my company for 15, 20 years now, I think, going on there. I've been an entrepreneur my whole entire adult life. And, you know, there's a certain anonymity that comes with that. When you're in politics, everything is scrutinized. Every eye twitch, every nuance, every word, every sentence, every intent is analyzed and pontificated about. So running for office is a challenge just in that vein. Secondarily, you know, I'm not a career politician. I'm not a career bureaucrat. You know, these candidates that are running for mayor of Chicago, especially, have run for mayor multiple times, a lot of them. A lot of them are, all of them really, are career bureaucrats. They have machines and connections within the political system and longstanding relationships. And I'm entering this race as just a citizen who has been fed up with how things are. And the reason why I decided to really take the leap was not for ego. I mean, I don't need that. I mean, my company is reasonably successful. The reason I decided to jump in is a friend of mine said, when I was complaining about crime and I was complaining about fiscal mismanagement and I was complaining about a plethora of things that are plaguing Chicago, he said, stop whining, get involved. If you want it to change, then get involved. And I thought about that. And after a couple of weeks, I realized that he is exactly right. You know, it's so easy to critique and criticize from the sidelines. Mm-hmm. So I decided to try, but the current mayor is very divisive. She is not really leading in any proactive way. The city seems to be foundering. She's at a 22 to 24% approval rating. The police union doesn't want to work with her. The fire department doesn't want to work with her. The city council doesn't want to work with her. The school system doesn't want to work with her. She really is in a hard place, and I think very vulnerable. And that was the other reason why I decided to run. I think the city of Chicago needs a strong leader. That part, I can check that box off. I have that. Political experience, not so much. But the leadership part, I check off. And also, I have a long history of unifying and uniting different groups and organizations to achieve a common goal. And I think that's what the city needs.
Okay, well, I definitely can understand. And a little bit that, you know, you and I have talked about in the past and the few articles that I've been able to see, you know, I don't live in Chicago, so I don't follow Chicago politics, you know, as much as you obviously do. But I love that your friend did challenge you to step up. And also, as you know, kind of tying it back to our earlier portion of our conversation today is, you know, kind of getting over that fear. And a lot of that kind of scrutiny over politics, in my opinion, is based in kind of that Puritan Victorian mindset, and where, you know, people of a particular religion or moral values will try to point out something. But you know what I have personally believe is, just like whether you're running for office or you're just living your own life, you know, outside of that, is if you're ashamed of it, you give them power. Mm-hmm. And if you are not ashamed of who you are, or, you know, we've all made mistakes, but we've also grown from that. And do I really trust a person that has never made any quote unquote political mistakes to have, skeletons in their closet? Because do you really, if that's that person, do they really have the, not only the political experience or the business experience, which I think more government needs of, is more, less politics, less cronyism, and more actual how to run a freaking business, how to balance a budget, how to improve processes and systems and so forth. I think that is the importance of what you have to bring to the table. Of course, also, you are a military veteran, which is, I think, a lot of people will identify with. But the point of kind of getting over that fear and saying, you know, if you happen to have had a profile on Tinder and someone had screenshot that and share it, okay, own it. Big deal. I mean, really, if someone wants to obsess about something like that, really, number one, in my view, they're showing who they are. And then two, they probably don't have, you know, life experiences and diversity of life that help someone be a good leader and see the community, the constituents, the employees as individuals. Does that make sense? Or do you see where I'm trying to go a little bit?
I do. And it does make total sense. First of all, I think that when I was younger, you know, you care a lot about what other people think. And as you get older, you care a lot less about what other people think. And you have a lot more confidence in who you are, who you've become, right? You know, there's a couple of things that I live by. You know, a mistake that you make when you're 20 is not a life sentence. I mean, you don't have to continually go back and account for and address something that you done in your 20s and already have reconciled, you know? So that's the first thing, right? So I don't let anyone have that kind of power. And the second thing is, I am far from perfect. I'm probably as imperfect as anyone else, probably more so. You know, as an entrepreneur, you have to be faced occasionally with really difficult decisions, and you make those decisions and sometimes they cause consequences. And an example that my husband brought up, and that was a few years ago, I wrote a bad check to a printer, and I had to make the choice either to pay payroll or pay the printer. Well, I decided to pay payroll, and the printer was unreasonable, didn't want to work with me, and they got very shitty about it, if I can say that. And it created a lot of problems. All of that was addressed. Everything worked out in the end, but the process was messy. And I'm not afraid of that. If someone asks me about it, I'll say, yes, that happened. You know, this is what I had, this is the choice I made, and this is why I made it, and these are the consequences. That's part of being a leader. That's part of being an adult. So own what you've done. If you make a decision, you made that decision. Nobody forced me to make that decision. I made the decision based on what was available to me and with what I thought was the best way to go. And I chose one thing and the other thing had consequences.
Well, and I if think I this- could just jump in right there. Number one, that is an issue of just change label A and B, and that, you know, balancing the check, balancing the, you know, business funds and the responsibilities. Frankly, I think you made the right choice. You paid your employees first.
Yeah.
You know, so that's hoping that that printer obviously has other customers, that they're not going to drown with just one thing. But you're as an entrepreneur, we're constantly having to make choices like that. So I can appreciate that your husband, you know, brought that up as a potential gotcha, but it's also such an extreme reality. For entrepreneurs. So, you know, just explaining it matter-of-factly as you did, most reasonable adults will understand that. So interesting. And, you know, I know you have several items that are very, although there's lots, I'm sure, probably hundreds of issues that a large, complex city like Chicago has. But I know that from our talking in the that there's, you know, 5 to 8 or so things that you really feel are strongly important and that you want to try to at least be a main focus for both your candidacy and when you become mayor.
And I like that.
Let's share a little bit about briefly to whatever, you know, comfort level you are, kind of what that each issue is, and a kind of a brief statement about what you're trying to, what you would do differently and bring to the table for the citizens of Chicago.
Sure. There are probably 7 main issues, right? So, and I can touch base briefly on that. But before I get into that, I want to sort of let you know what the core of my candidacy is going to be. It's going to be about quality of life issues. Right. And quality of life issues is an umbrella term. And I use that for safety, reduction in crime, affordability, amenities, if you will. What is it like to live in Chicago? And how can we improve the quality of life of everyone that lives here? So having said that, there are 7 issues that I'm focusing on. One is the big issue, and that is our unfunded pension fund. So a pension fund for city workers that is 30% funded currently, right? There's all sorts of talk about amending the Constitution, which is, I don't think, a practical way to do that. There's different ways of increasing our revenue, being creative with the revenue that we have to make sure that the pension fund gets funded. The bottom line is this. Some people say, go back, amend the Constitution, that we can reduce the adjusted growth rate of their pension funds tied to inflation or what have you, to minimize that so that we're not paying more and more and more. Here's my thought on this. If you work, I don't care if the city made a bad deal. If you work and you put into your pension fund, you deserve the pension fund. Going after that pension fund or the pensioners portion of the fund is the way to go. They've earned it. They deserve to get it. It's on the city's as the city's responsibility to make sure that it's funded properly. It's not their fault that we've mismanaged our money so that we can't fund our pension fund. There's got to be other ways to do that. And I'm going to address that here in 2 seconds, but a lot of different ways to do that are being explored, but nobody has the political will or the desire to go up and come up with a practical solution. The very first act as mayor did is to put together a bipartisan commission to do a complete audit of the city's finances. Complete. I want to know how much money is coming in and how much money is going out and where it's going. And I want recommendations from that bipartisan commission to say, how can we tighten out our cash flow, in essence, right? How can we take care of what we already have with what we have coming in before we start adding taxes or new revenue streams? I think people would appreciate that. As a business owner, I am constantly auditing our cash flow. You know, how much is coming in? And hey, I would love to drive a Mercedes SUV, but there's no money for that. So just because I want it doesn't mean we have to have it. And the same sort of management has to apply towards the city's funds. And I think that the pension fund is one of many different things that need to be analyzed to see what we can do to get it right. right? It is a huge dark cloud hanging over the city's finances, our future. It's like having a debt collector, you know, constantly calling you and you can't pay it, right? The second thing is the way our TIF program works in the city, and TIF stands for Tax Incremental Finance. And what it is designed to do is to go to a underdeveloped or a blighted area of the city. And in order to spur development, they freeze property taxes for a period of time, anywhere from 5, 10, 20 years or what have you. And then what happens is a developer comes in and the difference between the property taxes and the property values, the city loans that money to the developer, and the developer comes in and builds housing or shopping malls or whatever. But what is happening is sort of still in the process of learning about how this is being allocated. But the way it currently is being allocated is that as a part of new development, the developer is required to build 10% of their project as affordable housing. If they don't want to do that, they pay what's called an in-lieu fee to the city, right? So now they don't have to build any affordable housing units with their development. They just pay that fee to the city, but nobody seems to know where that money goes and what it's being used for. Secondarily, through some analysis, some TIF districts are being assigned in affluent neighborhoods in the city, neighborhoods that don't need redevelopment, that don't need that TIF incentive to spur redevelopment. So I would want to audit all of these programs to make sure that they're helping the people that they're designed to help and not misused. The last thing, well, another thing, is the way the school board is put together. You know, we don't have an elected school board here in Chicago. We have an appointed school board. So the mayor appoints the school superintendent and so forth and so on. And I think that that is a disservice to the communities. I think communities where schools are the ones that need to be involved in selecting who they want their districts to be run. Last but not least, and it is a big one, and that is crime. Crime is rampant in Chicago. It's ironic because the most affluent neighborhoods are just feeling the crumbs of the crime, but the neighborhoods really are impacted the most are the lower income neighborhoods on the south and west sides of Chicago. Especially. And the question that I would have is, why is that the case? And how can we go back to a better community policing model where policemen are not feared but respected? That policemen are assets to communities and not threats to communities. You know, I just read an article this morning, and it's that the Chicago Police Department exodus, a lot of officers have left the CPD. 120, I think, as of in the last 3 months, only 79 of those 420 have been replaced. And over the year, almost 1,100 officers left with only 300 replaced. Wow. And I think the problem that you have here is a lack of leadership by the mayor's office. You have the police department that doesn't respect the mayor's office or what she's doing. And so now everybody's an island. Everybody's working independently. And Chicago needs a mayor that will go in and sort of really get to the bottom of what these issues are and build partnerships with the police department, the fire department, the school system, with, you know, city workers, with all of the organizations and associations that are imperative to have good working partnerships with, instead of this constant infighting and so forth. And I think that is where I'm coming from, is I'm a leader. But I'm a team builder. So I'm going to come in. And even though I don't have the experience of running a city, my view is it cannot be that much different than running a company. I will tell you this. If I ran my company like the city runs their finances, if I ran my finances, I'd be in jail. I would have been in jail a long time ago. You know, and we entrust them by electing them to make the right decision that's in the best interest of the city as a whole. All of us, not one group or another group or anything else, is for us as a whole. And so I think that where my strength is going to be is I am just like you. I'm like everybody else or many people in the city of Chicago. I'm just a regular guy. I'm just a guy who works. You know, I have a family. You know, I struggle to pay my bills. Sometimes I can, sometimes it's more of a struggle than other times. But I decided to put myself out there and get off the sidelines and actually try and make a difference. And if I can get my message to resonate with the common people of Chicago that see that that the way things have been done is not working, that get somebody in there with a more practical viewpoint on how to get things done, then I think that I have a chance. I have a chance because I am really nothing like anybody else that is running. I am not a career politician. I am not a career bureaucrat. I don't have millions of dollars to throw at a race. I don't have, you know, all of these connections, political connections. I am coming at this race from a really, truly a fresh perspective, unsullied by any sort of obligations to big organizations or political friends or anything like that. I think that is what's going to make a big difference. I have to share with you, I just read an article where the aldermen are fighting over new districts, right? There are 50 aldermen in Chicago. So we have an aldermanic kind of a local government. And so each one of these districts in each one of these aldermen are like mini mayors, if you will. And they're constantly fighting, right? They're fighting. So now the Hispanic caucus is fighting with the African American caucus because the Hispanic caucus is saying, hey, we have more Hispanic people in Chicago than African Americans, therefore we should have more districts. And meanwhile, you have hundreds of thousands of dollars being spent on city money being spent on attorneys and district analysis people and what have you. Well, I did a little bit of research. Some of these attorneys are on the cusp of being indicted for corruption and fraud charges related to other political favors and blah, 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 blah. I can go on and on and on. And why are we spending this money? And by the way, if they don't agree by, I think it was May, the end of May, it's going to go before a referendum in the city, which could cost the city $20 million. Why isn't the mayor, why isn't somebody getting in there saying, okay, everyone, let's get together and let's get this figured out because none of us want to spend $20 million again, because they already did that once. So this is where I think a leader can come in. And my plan would be to sort of meet with all 50 aldermen and sort of get to understand what it is they're trying to do and get them to be part of the solution rather than an exacerbation of the problem. And all the while, the people that are impacted the most by this are the regular citizen. You know, $700,000 in cash could use that to pay something else, or $20 million, you know, over lawsuits brought on by the process could be used to fund, go towards the pension fund. So that's what I'm talking about when I say that my desire to jump into the race really stems from, I want to get in there. I want to sort of really look at this from a practical viewpoint and get some things resolved. Now, I know it's not going to be easy because everybody has their finger in the pot. Everyone. It's fascinating to me as a political newbie to analyze what's happening in Chicago. And at times it's overwhelming because I think there's no way, How do you tackle this? Well, my mother used to say you can eat an elephant one bite at a time. And that's what my plan would be. My plan would be to say, okay, we do a complete audit of our finances. We do a complete audit of all of our programs. I meet with all of the players, meaning all of the aldermen, all of the city worker leaders that are in there. Get a sense of what they're up against. See if we can find a solution and start working together. Get them to buy into the notion that we are stronger together, that we should be working together to figure these things out. It's not about how much power I have or how much power they have or whether or not I can do this or they can do that. It has nothing to do with that. We all live here. We all live in Chicago. And we should all be working to make it a better place to live for everyone, not white, not black, not Hispanic, not Asian, for everyone. And not gay or straight, it doesn't matter. It should be for everyone. And I think that is where I'm going to come from. And I'm hoping, Dennis, that it resonates with enough people that I get the support, because I think fundamentally there are more people like me than not who are just sick of it. They're sick of the fighting. They're sick of the ideological extremes. They're sick of, you know, massive spending. They're sick of not feeling safe. They're sick of the quality of life in Chicago being impacted by our leaders, not managing. If I can get that message out there and if it resonates with enough people, then I'll have the power of the people's support. And that will bring it to bring the issues that I'm talking about to the forefront. And hopefully the organizations that heretofore supported established candidates or established bureaucrats will now take a look at me and say, oh, you know, this guy's he's new, he's fresh, his viewpoint is a little bit different. Let's hear what he has to say, and I think that I'll get that support.
Awesome. And that's a really great overview. And I know, you know, as we stated, there's hundreds of issues, I'm sure. But those are all very big. And I like your focus on quality of life for all. And of course, when we are doing a quality life for all, it's, you know, you sometimes you have to have a long game and focus on different issues along the way, whether that's planting more trees in parks, whether that's updating playgrounds in blighted neighborhoods and, you know, extra trash pickups in areas, et cetera. And it was interesting, when I was living down in Wilton Manors and hope to be moving back there soon, I was so irritated because, you know, I was one person living in a duplex and they picked up trash, you know, twice a week, and both recycling and the other. And one day I happened to meet the mayor, and I'm like, why is my utility bill, you know, my utility bills, which is both the water and the sewer and so forth. And I'm like, I'm sure having all these trucks run around here, you know, two sets of trucks running around our neighborhoods twice a week, why? My trash can's never filled. It's never more than a third filled. And, you know, so it was like, you could simply reduce it to once a week and add an extra can. Those houses who need it, do once a week. You're going to save gas. You're going to save so much money. And he just kind of looked at me. And I was like, I thought that was a really damn good idea. But, you know, again, I walk a lot, so I never seen a trash can full. But I mean, but that could have gone to another area of the city that maybe needed more trash pickup, you know, but, you know, it was a different city because Wilton Manors is its own. But so anywho, I'm sure that there's a lot that you're going to have to, as you stated, get with the people, analyze, and start creating those real go-to-market, or what I call go-to-market. You know, become reality strategy and approach them.
Yeah, listen, every one of these issues is a huge issue in itself. Every single one. You know, the challenge is going to be to first do an audit of the whole way we do business, right? First is how much money are we taking in? How much money are we spending? And if the number we're taking in is less than the number we're spending, that's a big problem. So then at that point, look at the city operation and you say, okay, where are we spending? Where are we spending efficiently? Where can we cut? Where can we make things more efficient? Where can we streamline things so that we get the best value for what we're spending? Do all of that first. And then you have a real idea of where your financial house is. Right. And then from there you say, okay, listen, we've analyzed everything. We've cut everywhere that we can cut without impacting, especially strategic programs. And after we do all of that, if we don't balance our income and our outgo, then at that point we say, okay, how do we get more income? Right. I do that in my company. Where can we get more income? Right. So that could be, you know, a development that pays more taxes, making sure everybody's paying their fair share, looking at the way we're doing things. Can we do it more efficiently and more cost effectively?
Yeah. Closing contract loopholes.
Analyzing all the contracts, you know, and I know that's going to be a big issue, especially if there's a big issue right now with our parking meter contract for 100 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Friends of a friend of a friend of a friend, you know, that kind of thing. And it's a bad contract, you know? And so one of the things that I would do, and I think one of my strengths is I'm going to go in and try and renegotiate these contracts. And if they don't renegotiate them, look at what our options are to cancel them. And if we can't cancel them, then we have to live with it. And if we have to live with it, then you just put that over there and you say, okay, I can't cancel it. I can't do this. I can't do that. We have to live with it.
Well, there's always... ensuring as well, what I've done with contract vendors in the past who I, of course, I always have cancellation paragraphs and so forth, But of course, one way also is to highly scrutinize their every move and document. Mm-hmm. So you have case for, default on their
specific
end.
Specific performance. So that's exactly, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's exactly what I would do. Is I say, okay, you're not going to renegotiate the contract and I can't get out of it, then I'm going to scrutinize everything. If you so much as breathe wrong, I'm going to use that as a building a case to cancel the contract. So but that is always the last case. But everybody has a plan, you know, and I think that it's not going to be very popular, especially since these contracts are sometimes given as political favors and so forth and so on. But my view is this. My view is that I'm coming in with the idea that I'm a one-term mayor. If at the end of my term, everyone thinks I did a good enough job, you know, I'll run again. And if I get elected, great. But if I don't get elected, okay, big deal. So I don't have that pressure to do anything. I'm going to come in and make the decisions that are going to be the best for Chicago. And I'm going to try and have the most positive impact that I can. Listen, right now we have a divided city. We have a poorly run city and we have an angry city. You know, part of a leader, you know, people think the president of the United States has all this power. They don't have as much power as you think. Their big power is to be the point of leadership that people aspire to and look at and say, okay, he's got it under control. He's leading. Therefore, we're going to be okay, right? Now that it takes Congress and so forth and so on, everybody to work. This is what any leader has to do is, I can't go in and review every single contract. I can't go in and look at the books on everything. I can't go in and make sure programs are running efficiently one at a time. But what I can do is build a competent team of people that I can manage, that can give me that information, that can oversee those things. That's where the strength is. It's not about me. It's about me empowering them to do their jobs, to do what they can do. I think that people in general, they sort of have thrown their hands up and given up that the problems that we face in Chicago are completely insurmountable and they cannot be resolved. And I don't subscribe to that. Every problem has a solution. You just got to look for it. And sometimes you have to work to find it. It's not, you know, it's not obvious. So that's why I decided to run, Dennis. That's why I decided to get involved. Be my strength is being the everyman. That I think that I'm going to be that person who is just like me, who doesn't want to get involved in politics, just wants good leaders to make good decisions, that make good decisions, that wants to feel like their voice is heard, that wants to feel like they're working hard and that they can create a better life for themselves and their families. But they don't want to get in politics. That's where I was. I didn't want to get involved with politics. I wanted to pay less taxes. I wanted to feel that my neighborhood was safe. I wanted, you know, have a good quality of life living in Chicago. That's what's important to me. But when that's threatened, you have to do something. Otherwise, you're just a victim, and you're a willing victim.
Yes. You're correct. And, you know, moving isn't really the answer, because every city has their problems. You know, no place is perfect. And it's a matter of staking ground and saying, this is home, and I want to step up and try to make a difference. And so kudos to you for putting your hat in the ring to try to make a difference for all Chicagoans. And hopefully in the process, become a model city.
Well, that would be nice. Instead of being the laughingstock, or as most people say, a war zone, you know, that Chicago's known for being a well-run, well-managed city with city issues, but they're managed, right? By effective leaders, by a responsible and respectful police department, by efficient and effective city organizations and departments.
Awesome. Now, of course, we have listed your website here as we've been chatting. But just for those listening to the audience, of course, you can find those links down below in the description. But go ahead and share with us, DJ, where folks can learn more about you and hopefully contribute to your campaign.
Absolutely. So the website is just a splash page right now. It's in the process of being developed. It should be live in the next week or so. But the website URL is Doran, Doran, number 4, mayor, doran4mayor.com. So doran4mayor.com. And then on my social platforms, we just created those. We're on Facebook, Doran for Mayor, Instagram, Doran for Mayor, and Twitter, Doran for Mayor. So you can give us a follow there. We do have our donation page already established with Act Blue, which is the Democratic organization that helps us collect and manage online donations. And really what I'm looking for, Dennis, are people that donate $5, $1, $10. Start from there, from all over the country. You don't have to be from Illinois or live in Chicago to support my campaign. So I hope that you'll do that. You know, just take a minute and donate whatever you can to help me sort of be taken seriously in this race. I'm going to say this in closing. The political machine here in Chicago is so large and so cliquish that the only way that I'm going to be able to be taken seriously is by having enough support in our campaign war chest so that they cannot ignore what I'm doing. And so that's what I'm planning on doing. We have the first quarter reporting just ended. Going to report in April. I specifically didn't put anything in our campaign filings yet because I wanted to close out the first quarter and start clean, start fresh. So the new quarter starts starting on April 1st, and then we'll have to report in July for the period of April, May, and June. I do have already some commitments totaling $25,000 from donors that are ready to support my campaign. So anything that anyone can donate is going to be a great help.
Awesome. Well, we will definitely have all of those links down in the description below. And we will be touching base with you because this is the election is for this
February.
Race, February of 2023.
Yeah, that's correct. And if I don't garner 50% or more of the vote, then it will go into a runoff, which I think happens in April.
Ah, okay.
So I've got to get over 50% of the vote. And here's another thing, too. They make running so difficult. You have to, I have to get 12,500 signatures that are verified in order to qualify to be on the ballot, which means I probably have to get about 40,000 signatures because the, one of the things that they do that I've learned in Chicago politics is candidates challenge your signatures. And then if, and then in, they try and get you below 12,500 because if you're a threat to them, if you're making some inroads, if they can get you disqualified from the ballot by that way, then they'll do that. So you have to make sure that you have so much over what you need to give you enough buffer to be in there. So there's a lot. Oh, and by the way, you have to get all of those signatures within 90 days of the election. So I can't even get start getting signatures now. I have to wait until the 90 days before the election period begins.
Oh, so their signature, their the date on their signature has to be within 90 days.
Within 90 days.
Wow. That's,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. I guess it's so just a lot of volunteers hitting the biggest, you know, mass populated areas like concerts and festivals and whatever.
Right. And by the way, no digital signatures. They have to be original signatures. Mm. So you have to be out there with a clipboard and get these people to, and they have to be registered voters.
Hmm.
Okay. So, so it's, they make it very difficult. And part of that process, just so you know, to be the mayor of New York City, which is a much larger city than Chicago, you only need 5,000 signatures. Los Angeles, 3,000.
Really?
Chicago, 12,500.
Hmm.
And I think this is just another way that the political establishment, they say that they made it that way so that crazies just don't run for office and they have to weed them out. They want to make sure that only serious candidates can be considered. But a lot of people have said this to me, and I don't know if it's true or not, is that they make it so that only rich, well-established candidates that have political organizations can have even a smallest of hope of getting those signatures.
Hmm.
So people like me, you know, just off the street, we it's almost impossible.
Very interesting. Well, let's make the impossible possible. And that is,
I like that.
That is Doran for Mayor for the City of Chicago. Be sure to check out his links down below. And please consider making a contribution as he requested, even if it's just a one-time $5. It will go a long way, as well as being greatly appreciated both by him and the future, the citizens of Chicago when DJ Doran becomes mayor. All righty. Well, thank you so much for giving us this inside information on yourself and your campaign. It was a great conversation.
Same. Thank you, Dennis, for having me. I look forward to being back with you again soon.
Absolutely. And at any time you'd like to do an update on your candidacy and so forth, or just want to spill some political dish, you are welcome back anytime.
And thank you, Dennis.
And thank you, everyone, for staying tuned to this episode of Out Bureau Voices. I'm Dennis Velko, your host, and we'll see you on outbureau.com. That is outbureau.com. Bye-bye.